From meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at scaredmonkeysradio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Hailed as the second amended guru by the Western Shooting Journal, Alex Kincaid is a former elected district attorney and founder of Alex Kincaid Law, a law firm which uniquely specializes in firearm law, and she has over 17 years' experience as a successful trial lawyer and strategic planner. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Hi, Dana. Thanks for having me.
Now, we got to talk lots. I want to talk about San Bernardino, obviously, Paris and firearms and all sorts of things, but I want to start, you as a former prosecutor, me as a former police officer. It wasn't that long ago, I can't remember if it was after the Freddie Gray Baltimore or if it was one of the other ones, where Obama came out and his administration came out and they were going to restrict police services officers from military style equipment. Now, can you imagine in San Bernardino the responding officers responding with billy clubs and 22s instead of what they were able to respond with?
Yeah, well, it's not only the officers, is it? And I think that's absolutely ludicrous, but we're also restricting the general public. I'll tell you about something interesting that came across my desk today in that respect.
Now, it's, all you got to do is turn on the television. We're living in an era now. I'm in Canada, as you know, but my show goes worldwide. We have firearms restrictions here, so to speak. It doesn't work. Other places, Paris, France is an excellent example of what didn't work. What about that? Is it too little, too late, or never would have worked in the first place?
Yeah, it never would have worked in the first place. And you talk about nations that have strict gun control. California is a state that has some of the strictest gun control in our country. And in fact, California was one of the first states, actually was the first state, to pass so-called, and you have to put quotes around assault weapons, right? Because an assault weapons ban, that idea arose in California in the 80s. You know what? It hasn't done any good. Why? Because as we know and as we see time and time again, the criminals really don't care what the law is. Criminals want to be able to carry out what they want to do, whether the law says they can or they can't.
It's interesting, the governments and their statistics on mass shootings don't quite match the real statistics. However, the mass shootings that we've seen across North America and around the world do bring some concern, and what that concern brings is what can be done to protect lives, protect those first responders, protect kids in schools, et cetera, et cetera. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think number one, the people are their first defense. I'm my own first defense. Everyone is responsible for their own life. We need to be aware. We need to not be restricted in our ability to defend our own lives. We know that these mass murders occur in places where firearms are restricted because the murderers, the killers, the terrorists are choosing locations where they do not expect out. So whether it's a school or a movie theater or a state-owned building where we are helping disabled children, these locations are specifically selected because the people who want to harm you expect that they're going to be able to do so much more easily. And as you and I know, law enforcement, wonderful, they put their lives on the line to try to protect us, but they get the call when there's blood on the floor,
right?
Not before.
Absolutely.
So arriving on scene is after the bad thing has happened. People need to be able to defend themselves. And I mentioned earlier, I had something really interesting. I mean, it's not really interesting. Pretty pathetic, frankly, come across my desk today, which is a statement that was issued by our Department of Homeland Security. And someone emailed it to me because they work in California, and they got a notice from their HR department, and this is the, you know, this is not a low-level employee. This is someone who has a pretty astute position, political position, and they got this notice that says, you know, if you're a victim of an active shooter, and this brochure says an active shooter is when someone is, let me read it to you, an active shooter is an individual actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill people in a confined and populated area, typically through the use of firearms, okay? So we have the profile of an active shooter.
Sure.
That's what you're supposed to do. Supposed to hide out of the shooter's view, or if you can't do that, here's the recommendation. Act with physical aggression and throw items at the active shooter. So this person says to me, calls me actually, too, and says, I, you know, I'm supposed to throw pens at the guy with the gun.
Oh, gee. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's pathetic, right? I said it's interesting, but it's really, it's pretty pathetic, and it reminds me of a couple of years ago when we had this statement issued by a university in our country. And the university said, you know, if you're a woman and you're being attacked on campus, we're not going to allow you to have a gun. But what you should do is pee your pants and blow a whistle. And the university actually put that out as a policy and a recommendation.
Did they say what you're supposed to do?
Same line.
What you're supposed to do first, pee or blow?
No. I don't think that detail was given. At least in this case, we say hide. If you can't hide, throw your pen, you know, or your stapler. So, you know, back to your original question, people have got to realize that there is evil in this world.
Yeah.
And if you want to protect yourself and the people you care about from that evil, you better take some steps to make sure you're prepared to do so. Unfortunately, there are people like this person who called me today who have a job at a location where the law says you can't protect yourself.
You know, it's interesting. Alex Kincaid is here. She's a attorney, Alex Kincaid Law. Click on the link in the show notes. It's interesting when we talk about San Bernardino, the responders and all the, if you're watching on the media, all the speculation that was going on, that it was workplace violence and all the sort of stuff. But I heard today that one of the responding EMS units, actually one of the ambulance personnel, was carrying a rifle, which I thought was fantastic too, because they, if anyone, going into a scene and they haven't staged, are targets, and they get targeted all the time. Had you heard that?
No, I actually hadn't heard about that. The question I have is, I wonder if that was allowed via their work policy.
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. Were they risking losing their job or more by carrying that rifle?
Yeah, no, I agree. Larry Pratt, as who you know from Gun Owners of America, was telling me that, and I thought that was interesting. I can't confirm it, but that's what we hear. Anyway, continuing on, I want to talk a little bit before we get into the concealed carry and Paris and all that. I want to talk a little bit about the media coverage and of these stories, not necessarily San Bernardino, but any story. And when it comes to protecting ourselves, how slanted is it one way or the other?
Well, I would say it's pretty slanted that we don't hear from someone like Larry Pratt saying this is obviously an act of terrorism and people need to be able to be armed and carry in the mainstream media. Instead, what we see is our president within an hour proclaiming that we need more gun control.
Yeah.
That obviously doesn't work. So, you know, we don't hear from the people who know that the gun control isn't working and who can try to educate and help people understand that, again, if you're going to defend your life, you'd better learn how to do so and take some action to do so. Instead, it's just portraying our wonderful politicians, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, I hope people know that, proclaiming about, you know, here's Hillary, here's Obama, we need more gun control, and this is a tragedy, and I can't believe that America's leading the world in mass murders, which is blatant untruth and a lie.
we've covered it. You as a district attorney, me as a former police officer, and hosting this program many, many times for many, many years, the mental health aspect of these sorts of crimes, these sorts of shootings, terrorism aside, what about mental health and these sorts of incidents?
Well, I don't think mental health was... I know that, you know, if certain people do certain acts, it's hard not to sit back and go, well, that person has an issue, right? That person has a mental problem.
No kidding,
take
yeah.
kind of action, but there's a big difference between being mentally ill and being legally mentally ill, and that's a whole other different discussion.
The mentally ill... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the mental illness certainly plays a part in some... attacks. A normal person like you and I is not going to take a gun and go into a movie theater and start shooting everyone. So, yes, people that have a mental illness, but we also know, because we work this type of career where we see recidivism and we see that people go into the criminal justice system and they go right back out onto the street, and the mentally ill go into the criminal justice system because they do something that oftentimes is considered minor in terms of a crime. They come in and they get treatment and they, you know, are medicated and they go to counseling and they're kicked back out on the street, and they do that over and over and over again until they do something like go to a movie theater and start blasting everybody.
Right.
So mental illness, definitely an issue. I don't think it's being properly addressed. I don't think the criminals in this country are being properly addressed. But the solution is certainly not to impose more rules and regulations on the normal law-abiding citizenry.
Paris is a good example of that. I'm sorry, we're cutting each other off here. Stepping in. Little phone problem. No, that's okay. I think it's on my end. Paris is an example of strict gun control, yet the terrorists were able to get the weapons, were able to obtain the weapons. Even if there was a magic wand, Alex, that you could push and wave, I guess you don't push wands, but anyway, that you could make sure that every criminal element, every mental illness case, every terrorist could not get a weapon, it'd be too little too late, because it's just not going to work.
Not going to work. What terrorist cares?
Exactly.
Our law says. They don't care what law we pass. They're going to find a gun. They're going to make a bomb. You know, this wasn't even... We have a bomb factory. We know that now in California.
Right.
These people were planning, and they were doing things illegally, and they could have cared less what kind of gun control this great state of California had passed.
Alex Kincaid is here. We're talking about the Second Amendment and how it applies to San Bernardino and other places. Put your district attorney hat on now, if you don't mind, and you look at a case like San Bernardino. You know, thank heavens that there is no longer a suspect in that case. Those two are in a special place in hell, as far as I'm concerned. In fact, they're in the worst part of hell. But let's just say someone survived, and they were able to arrest the shooter. You, as the district attorney, how would you approach a case like this? Because, obviously, it's going to be a heck of a publicity-driven sort of case where it comes to terrorism, gun control, immigration, you name the whole gamut of it. How do you handle something like this?
Well, you know, one of the tools that the prosecution uses is the grand jury. And for those of us states who are familiar with that system to some degree, fortunately the grand jury is going by the wayside, because more and more states are passing laws that do not allow grand juries charge someone, they record things, they invite defendant or suspect at the time to come and testify. And so, you know, this is a situation where we have somebody who was a very strong suspect and would be taken into custody and held because of the danger, obviously. It's a pretty easy case for the prosecution in terms of charging multiple federal crimes. And also, this could be both a federal and a state case based on this behavior. So in terms of proceeding, any prosecutor is going to want, maybe I shouldn't say any, right?
Most
prosecutors are going to want to charge this person with everything they possibly can and make a very strong case to have the person pay for life or seek the death penalty.
It's interesting when we look at the states. We don't hear about these sorts of mass shootings in states where concealed carry permits are there. Or am I wrong?
Well, we don't have the mass shootings in the locations where are allowed to carry. It may be that a state actually has laws that allow concealed carry, and there are a lot of concealed carriers, but we still have all of these locations around the country where those concealed carriers are prohibited from carrying a firearm. Because just because someone goes and gets a concealed carry permit, they're still prohibited from carrying their firearm into certain locations. And we have private businesses that can also set policy and put the big sign up that says no guns allowed. Grocery stores, movie theaters, you know, whatever the business is, that private business owner has the ability to do that. So, to answer your question, it's not necessarily a matter of whether someone, a state, has liberal concealed carry laws. It's more about the specific location and whether that location is, in fact, a gun-free zone. That's where the mass murders. That's why we see so many shootings around this country when we're looking at where these mass are occurring, because the schools are an obvious, easy target.
Right.
They're not armed, and the criminals know that.
Absolutely. Alex Kincaid is here. Alex, when we look at these stories, when we see the carnage that happens, and we talk about, well, only if. Is education not a huge part of the firearms consideration across North America, whether or not we should be able to carry in most states? It's not just going out and getting that gun. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be safe. You have to know how to shoot it.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's good to see the reaction now that we're having in this country. We're seeing some of the highest numbers ever of people who are purchasing firearms, but also more and more people enroll in the concealed carry classes and getting training. So just going out and buying a gun is in no way good enough. I have known people have a gun and it's folded up in some kind of little cloth and tucked in a cabinet by the bed in case somebody ever breaks in and they need to use it. That's just ridiculous, because in that situation you are not in any way prepared to use that firearm. So purchasing the firearm is the easiest part of that process. So you select, some of our states of course have horrible systems to get a permit in order to have a handgun, but once you have that firearm, now your road and your path with that firearm really begins. Even the people I know who have served in the military, who are very experienced in how to use a firearm, they can hit a target no problem, they continue to train. You never have enough training with your firearm. And if you stop training, you're going to lose some of your ability to make split-second decisions on how you're going to react in an active shooter situation, in a situation where someone has broken in your home. These are things that you need to learn for yourself. What to do in a situation. Don't leave the kids out of this equation.
Right.
I think there's this feeling amongst many people that, oh my goodness, guns are bad. In fact, guess what? Our government is bad because they're expelling or suspending children from thinking, if they think about firearms, if they have a pastry in the shape of a firearm, if they wear a t-shirt that supports our Second Amendment, they're being punished for that. So we have a new generation now that is growing up with this idea that guns are scary and guns are bad, and we are 100% removing from that generation through the school system the idea and the fact that guns don't just kill people, they can save your life. So teaching your children responsibility, the deadliness certainly, but the responsibility that comes with a firearm and the ability to use it to protect yourself, really important, and you can't forget that when you choose to bring a firearm into your home.
Alex Kincaid is here, and we're talking about the Second Amendment, discussing the situation that the mass shooting in San Bernardino and others. Let's talk about places like Chicago and Baltimore and the critics that come forward and say that what about the murder rates there? What about all the shootings? What about all of this? I sit back and say, well, they, you know, a place like Chicago is probably one of the hardest places to get a gun permit, but what about that? How do you address the critics, Alex?
Right, because those are the places with the highest murder rates. They've taken the protection of the responsible Americans away. They have strictest gun control laws in the country. Chicago has topped this country in murder rates for years. People can't protect themselves. And the murderers run amok, and they run on the street, and they kill you because they want your $5 that's in your pocket. So, you know, the critics want to look at, oh, my God, you know, look at all these guns that are being used in crimes, and guns are so bad, we need more gun control, we have to rid this country of the guns. Well, you're never going to rid the country of certain people being evil and criminals wanting to hurt you, and not only wanting to hurt you, but thinking about hurting you and laughing about it afterwards. Normal people have some trouble, and you probably know this as well. It's hard if you haven't seen it day after day after day and seen the evil that people can do to each other on a daily basis. It's hard to recognize that people can be that way, because many folks go about their daily lives, they go to the grocery store, don't realize they're standing next to a rapist or a child molester or even a murderer who's been released. But there are people out there who will harm you. And once you accept that and you understand that, you're going to look at Chicago and go, what the heck? Why are we taking guns away from innocent, law-abiding citizens who only want a means to protect themselves? But here's the goal is the criminals have the guns. The criminals are still carrying out their crimes and their evil, and the people are the victims.
Very well said. Alex Kincaid is here for about another 4 or 5 minutes. I want to ask you a little bit. I didn't bring you on to talk politics, but how can you not with the election nonsense that's going on right now? What about it? What about politicians and public safety, and the Second Amendment is such a huge part of public safety?
We certainly are seeing our share of politicians who don't care about the American citizen and who don't care about our ability to protect ourselves. And guess what? They also don't care about the Constitution that this country was founded on. So what we're hearing from those politicians is we need gun control, guns away from Americans, and what they're saying is they're going to dismantle the Constitution of this country. And once armed, what's going to follow? What else in the Constitution are they going to try to get rid of? So throughout history, you know, all you've got to do is pick up a book or watch a documentary. This is how it starts. Arm the citizens, and now we can do what we want. I hope the people will pay very close attention to what those politicians are saying and look at the candidates who are very strong on preserving what our founding fathers wrote and preserving, in that sense, everything that is in the Constitution of this country and preserving our way of life, because those are the people that we need to have in power here if we're going to continue as the great United States.
Yeah. For sure. I'm going to give you the last word, but I want you to promote your website and all that. But if you, someone listening to this program or are watching it on television, because we do air on TV also, are thinking about maybe for the first time they're in a state where they can get a concealed carry permit. They're concerned about the safety of their family. They are in an area that is just, you know, riddled with all sorts of problems. What would be your best advice to them?
Well, if they are in you're saying they're in a crime-ridden area, right? There's bad things happening around them.
Sure, yeah.
You know, for most people, you can't just pick up and leave and seek a new place.
That's right.
There's a part of me that just wants to say, stay and fight. And if you live in one of those areas, try to change what the bad is. Try to make it better, because we're fighting for our children. We're fighting for the next generation, and we're fighting for America. So, you know, if you're in a crime-ridden area and you have a firearm, training, make sure you know how to use it. Make sure your family is aware. Make sure your family is educated about the Second Amendment and how firearms can be a benefit to a household. They're not just a scary impulse. And make sure that if you've been a gun owner for a long time, you don't forget to continue that training. Because I know, you know, I've been a long time. It's easy to get busy. And, you know, I had a recent incident where some new threats came up again in my life. And I went, wow, I really got busy and involved in other things in my life. And I forgot how important it is to continue to train and to make sure that I'm prepared. Don't let that happen. And if you have, on track and make sure that you're doing everything you can to protect yourself and those people who are so important to you and that make life worth living. Lose that, have left, not much.
Yeah, well said. How can folks get a hold of you?
Well, my website is a great place. I'm at alexkincaid.com, and Kincaid is K-I-N-C-A-I-D. I have on my website all kinds of information for people who are interested in firearms. I have links to different things. Find all my other contact information from that website as well.
And of course, we don't want to forget that if you're in an active shooting situation, you want to pick up stuff and throw it at the guy that's shooting at you, correct?
You want to throw, you want to hide first.
Hide first.
And if you can't hide, yeah, grab something and throw it at the guy that's spraying bullets at you.
Right on. Alex, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Alex Kincaid. She's a former district attorney and obviously a gun proponent, a concealed carry proponent. She's a big supporter of the Second Amendment in the United States. And you may agree with it, and you may not agree with it. My name's Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio, and we're also on Access Channel 7. The other guest I sat down earlier with today is Larry Pratt. Larry is the executive director of the Gun Owners of America. He's been a friend of this program for a number of years. I've had him on for, probably as long as I've been doing this program, which is about 15 years now. And I sat down with Larry today to get his thoughts also on the San Bernardino situation in Paris and what he has to say about gun ownership in America. He's also been the executive director of Gun Owners of America for the past 30 years. Gun Owners of America is a national grassroots organization representing more than 1 million American gun owners dedicated to promoting their Second Amendment freedom to keep and bear arms. Larry, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. Thank you very much.
Now, unfortunately, anytime I have you on, there's always a tragedy to talk about. But before we get into talking about Paris and San Bernardino, I want to talk a little bit about the President of the United States, Obama. Shortly after Ferguson, he took steps to try and get rid of military-style armaments for police departments. What would it have been like to have a police department responding in San Bernardino with no equipment?
Well, is precisely the moment when you want to be able to have officers protected, when you want some kind of armor-resistant, bullet-resistant vehicle for them to approach a dangerous scene. Now, as it turned out, the cops were probably there,
yeah,
for a good half of the time, the dirt bags were still scurrying around trying to find the car they stole. And had they gone in there without any armor to protect them, there could have been some cops added to the body count, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just sickens me, and I'm sure it sickens millions and millions of others to see that the commander-in-chief, and I use that term lightly, wanting to disarm, so to speak, law enforcement in an age today where it's just so dangerous out there, Larry, or am I wrong?
No, and a kind of a similar mindset, which is in a way even more deadly, because at least cops have guns, at least most of the time. Gun-free zones, by definition, are places where civilians, citizens without guns, are just waiting to be mowed down, as they were at that inland center in California, and as they have been at the site of all of our public massacres, save two, since 1950. And yet we still have gun-free zones. Now, kudos to Dr. Jerry Falwell. I don't know if he's actually a junior, but the son of the founder of Liberty University has said, hey, anybody with a concealed carry permit is welcome here. And he's even taken away the ban that they had on firearms in dormitories. So my guess is it's not going to be a happy place for a dirtbag looking for a big body count.
Yeah, for sure. Larry Pratt's here. He's the Executive Director of Gun Owners of America. Larry, you know, the Second Amendment, the mass shootings, the government has a way of exaggerating mass shooting counts across the United States, blowing them out of proportion, so to speak. But how do you react, or how do you respond to the critics that say more gun control, more registration, background checks, all that sort of stuff?
Well, they had all of that in California. Obviously, didn't work. We don't read about these kinds of things happening in places like Wyoming, where they have very little gun control, Vermont, where they actually have even less. There are states now, seven, that are what we call constitutional carry states. You can carry a gun in your purse, in your pocket, no permit required, just don't use it in a crime, because that'll be an additional count against you, at least one. And this has been working fine in states with large urban areas, like Phoenix, Arizona, not a problem, or in Wyoming, which admittedly is a rather different demographic. The fact of the matter is, people don't tend to do as many nasty things when there's a reasonable presumption that an intended victim could shoot back. It just takes all the fun out of being a dirtbag.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if you look at it, let's just say someone could wave a magic wand and ban all assault weapons. That's just so ridiculous, because those weapons are already out there, and not many dirtbags, as you like to call them, will have a problem if they wanted to go and find that weapon. So what do we do? How do we stop the dirtbag from getting the weapon and using it?
Well, they certainly didn't in France, where it was illegal for those kinds of firearms to be in citizen hands, and yet they were able to get AKs, from what I could read, somewhat less than what I would pay here. And typically, things cost more in Europe. So it tells me anybody that wants an AK or probably any other kind of nice semi-automatic rifle, Paris, or perhaps anywhere in France, would be a dandy place to go find one, and obviously there wouldn't be any paperwork. Now, seriously, for here, what I would advocate is that we get rid of our gun-free zones, that we have legislation that needs to be introduced that would do away with them at the federal level. Hopefully states would follow suit. Utah already has no gun-free zones at any of its schools, and to my knowledge, that doesn't have any other gun-free zones other than maybe a federal building in somewhere in Utah. So that has worked out very well. The states with constitutional carry are now 7. They don't have reports of mass murders and massacres occurring. You would think that there are so many records of success that we would want to copy those and implement those, but there's something, it must be in the DNA of those that want to control guns, because it's not just about guns. I have a weekly show, and the announcer says in the segue to my coming on, and remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control. And so it's the whole control mindset. Guns are the point of the spear, if you will, but it certainly doesn't end with control of guns.
You and I have discussed this before in the past, other mass shootings, and just general discussion on weapons and firearms. What about the mental health aspect? We hear that quite a bit. This person should have never got the gun because of his mental health issues. We need to handle mental health. What about that?
Well, that could be a valid concern, and for those individuals where people have that concern, it ought to be requisite that they go to court and prove that the person is a danger, as the law provides, to self or others. And if you can show from things they've done, maybe even some things they've said, but whatever you can say to convince a court in an adversarial procedure where the prosecutor says this guy is ready to go off 5 seconds from now, and his defense attorney says you got it all wrong, and here's our experts to refute what you're saying, and the prosecution brings in their experts, and a jury decides whether or not the guy is as accused or not. That's not foolproof. There will be mistakes, but it sure at least says you've had your day in court, you've had some due process, which you don't have by simply saying we're going to put your name in the prohibited person list in the background check database. Well, you don't want terrorists buying guns, certainly. You don't want anybody who's on a terrorist watch list buying a gun, do you? Well, Senator Kennedy got himself on that list, I think it was as many as 3 times, and it was not easy for him to get his name off.
Yeah.
Senator Kennedy, one of the more prominent politicians in the United States, and this thing was biting him all the time. Now, it strikes me that an allegation is just simply not the same as a fact established in a court of law, and that's what we have to insist on if we're going to be a country of laws.
Larry Pratt's here. He's the executive director of Gun Owners of America. Click on the link in the show notes to learn more about that organization. Lots of talk from politicians, Larry. You hear it all the time. An election campaign, so to speak, going on right now. Who out of all of the candidates makes the most sense?
Well, before I tell you who we've endorsed, I would just say that on the whole, the Republican bench is deeper than I can remember in my increasingly long lifetime. They're just an improved crop from which voters can select. As we looked at not only the positions of the candidates, but what we had seen them do in practice, we decided that Senator Cruz was the one that had a demonstrated backbone, where he had stood up to the even his own caucus, his own leadership. At one point, when the Senate leader, Senator McConnell from Kentucky, had told the caucus that there would be no vote on a measure, and then they had a vote on it within a couple of weeks, he called him out and said, "You lied to us, Mr. McConnell." Now, that's not perhaps what is expected in the United States Senate, or for that matter, the House of Representatives. And maybe that's why we're in so much trouble, is that these rascals are not afraid of being called out when they do something as despicable. They didn't just lie to Senator Cruz's face. This was a caucus meeting, a luncheon that they have every week, and McConnell lied to them all, bald-faced.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. A long ways to go yet, but I want to ask you, Larry, if we can't protect those that protect us, and I'm talking about law enforcement, military, first responders, so to speak, then we're in big trouble. What can we do as media, as organizations like your own, or just the public to try and support our law enforcement more? Because, geez, every time you turn on the television or look at a story, there's something negative. The law enforcement will always be criticized, seldom appreciated. So I think we need to do more to try and help. What would you suggest?
Well, I think, frankly, an armed citizenry is going to help the law enforcement, because let's go to San Bernardino.
Yeah.
That had some 80 people, none of whom were armed. It was a gun-free zone. The dirtbags had free range. The one good thing I read about that is that when the medics arrived, very quickly, by the way, within about 4 minutes, 5 minutes, one of them had a rifle. Whoa, finally, they're getting smart, because they've even been lured in the past into traps where then they were shot at. And they had a bag of medicines and tourniquets, but they didn't have any guns. Well, this team didn't arrive at the scene empty-handed in that regard, and I had not heard about something like that. I was delighted that something like that had been done. A good move.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's next for you? I know your organization is very busy. What about the Gun Owners of America? What's your next step?
Well, there's a bill in the Congress in both houses that would treat your concealed carry permit the same as your driver's license, so that it would be recognized in all the states, all 57 if you go by the president's count. And the states that have constitutional carry, where they don't even need a permit, their driver's license would be the same as a permit to carry concealed, because that would be one of the seven states, and if the police officer had any question, he could consult the list that right now has seven states on it. That, I think, is going to make it so that people are encouraged to carry concealed wherever they go. So perhaps if they're at a convention in Chicago, which is just nuts, it's almost impossible to get a concealed carry permit there. A few people have, I'm glad, and it's because of a court order, by the way, not because of anything the legislature did. If we had more people in Chicago visiting various conferences and carrying concealed, and nothing happens, unless a bad guy causes trouble, well, that is going to make it even more difficult, I would hope, for the gun grabbers to say, well, we can't trust guns in the hands of average citizens. Well, we do all the time in these seven states, and it doesn't harm them one bit whatsoever, among the lower of the violent crime rates of the states of our country.
Yeah. Larry, listen, always a pleasure. We're out of time, and we'll have you on again real soon. Appreciate it.
Looking forward to being with you. Thanks so much.
Take care, Larry. Bye-bye.
By the way, we're at gunowners.org. You can get a free newsletter alert from that site at gunowners.org.
Right on. Thanks, Larry.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye. And that's Larry Pratt, who's the executive director of gunowners.org. Now, if you're listening in Canada or someplace where gun control is active, and you think that it's working, well, you may think that the two guests I have had on tonight are totally nuts. But I tell you, there's a big movement right now with the way that the world is and the active shooters that are out there for people to protect themselves. And there are more and more people going out, getting educated, and getting their concealed carry permits. In places like Chicago, where gun control is very strong, has one of the highest murder rates ever. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. Larry has been a good friend of the program for many years, and obviously has his opinion as far as gun control, but with the mass shootings that we've seen and heard about, and the way that the world is concerned about radical Islam and other criminal activity and dirtbags, as Larry likes to say, bringing on the Alex Kincaids and the Larry Pratts, I think, was a prudent thing to do to get you that side of the story. Anyway, that's it. That's tonight's show. My name's Dana Pretzer. Thank you for listening on Scared Monkeys Radio or watching on Access 7. We'll see you again real soon.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of ScaredMonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.